Turning your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. This morning, as I said, we're going to take a break from our series on the glory of Christ. Instead, take up an election sermon on the occasion of this very important election this week. I think everyone knows that this presidential election is and will be the most significant in modern American history. We have great reason to be concerned over the election, what it will mean for the future of America. There has been certainly over the last century a growing apostasy in our nation to such a degree that the forces of atheism, secularism, paganism, and a socialistic ideology has now become incarnate, not only in the president, but in the entire Democratic Party. We are no longer dealing with just political economic issues, but with the nature of divine truth, the historic foundation of the American nation, as well as we see now growing the working of Antichrist. To be straightforward, this sermon is designed to be a prophetic indictment against the Obama administration for their assault against the law of God and all Christian values. The sermon title, "The Obama Nation and America's Desolation," is of course a play on words with reference from Daniel 9, which Jesus quotes in Matthew 24:15, in his Sermon on the Mount of Olives, respecting eschatology, the end of the age, the coming of Christ in judgment. But in terms of the demonic power of the state manifested in the imperial government of Nero, the Antichrist, spoken of in Daniel chapter 9, with reference to Antiochus Epiphanes, foreshadowing the coming of imperial power, imperial persecution, the work of Nero through Diocletian, the persecution of the church, the first age of the church and his establishment. Nero was, of course, the very representation of Antichrist, the beast from the sea also, which Revelation 13 speaks of, in which Scripture denounces for his idolatry, his blasphemy, barbaric cruelty, and his widespread persecution of Christians. Nero was a man with great power of state who used it in rebellion against God to oppose the gospel and the kingdom of Christ in the world. In Matthew 24, verse 15, Jesus therefore warns the disciples to beware of the abomination of desolation. Beware of the working of Antichrist. While Nero was a model of Antichrist, John actually says that there will be many Antichrists in the world. There will be many manifestations of rebellion against God, against Christ's lordship, opposition of the gospel, both in the church and in the civil government, that will come before Christ comes again at the end of the age. And for this reason, the Bible repeatedly speaks of certain kings and emperors, civil magistrates, not just church leaders, who so oppose the gospel and the kingdom of Christ that they are given the title of Antichrist. These are individuals who either blaspheme the name of God or in such a diabolical way oppose the gospel, misrepresent the gospel, and oppose Christ's rule and kingdom in a society. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul speaks of the Antichrist who comes with lying signs and wonders and with deception and subtlety as deceive, if possible, the elect. In Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10, John speaks of the beast rising up from the sea, who speaks words of blasphemy. And historically, this, of course, is a reference to the imperial persecution of the gospel under Nero. But it speaks also of all anti-Christian governments that work to oppose the lordship of Christ. And therefore, the church fathers, the reformers, scholars, church and Christian scholars throughout the ages have recognized that the history of the church is riddled with various manifestations of Antichrist. As I said, from Nero to Diocletian, the early church persecutions, Julian the Apostate, Attila the Hun, Muhammad and the rise of the Islamic Caliphate, Genghis Khan, even many of the popes of the Roman Catholic Church who opposed the gospel wickedly. You can see this especially in the modern era. We see this in the rise of the totalitarian and communist regimes of Hitler and Mussolini, Stalin and Soviet Russia, Mao and the communist state of China, Pol Pot, Southeast Asia, communist bloc in Eastern Europe, and now even growing in the liberal democracies of the West. The rise, the growth, and the influence of Antichrist. Now, we're not talking about the last and the final Antichrist. There is always a manifestation of anti-Christian power, whether in religious institutions or in the state, that works diabolically opposed, okay, to the gospel. Well, we see this growing, that is developing in the liberal democracies of the West and also here in our own nation, in America, right? With this timeline of world history in mind, and Jesus warning to the disciples to beware, not only of false prophets of the Antichrist, it's not difficult to see that the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well in America. Not just in America, but in the Obama administration, in the Democratic Party, in their atheistic agenda. And we see, therefore, our nation is at a crossroads in this election. Now, once a Protestant empire built upon the Word of God and sound doctrine, free market economy, encouraging industry and personal initiative, the pillar of missionary work, right? And the nation is on the verge of being destroyed by a new form of paganism that is in opposition to the gospel, that is cleverly disguised and professes to be religious, professes to be for Christ. Never before in the history of America, though, as a nation, has there been such a vaunted attack upon biblical values and attempt to change the political and religious foundations of the nation. Right? Hope and change is actually a desolation. America's desolation. Now, let me briefly explain what we're trying to do here this morning. Okay, we're going to expound on the law of God, how the Democratic Party and the Obama campaign and their agenda is completely contrary to Christian values. But there are essentially three pillars to their pagan worldview, which actually governs Obama's personal views in his administration, the Democratic Party now. There's first the socioeconomic ideology of anti-colonialism, right? You might know about this. Okay, this has been carefully documented, especially in the movie Obama 2016 by Dinesh D'Souza. Obama's destructive and anti-American policies come from his personal background. His father's largely Marxist dreams and his hatred of American economic supremacy. That's just the socioeconomic ideology of the background. But then there's also the Marxist ideology that is the foundation of his thinking, which is carefully laid out in the documentary called Agenda by Idaho State Legislature Kurt Bowers. Bowers and others like him carefully demonstrate that after the McCarthy era and the successful war against communism in the 50s, the Marxists, the progressives over the next generation, they went undercover. They started repackaging their diabolical ideology as the progressive movement within the Democratic Party. They wanted to go mainstream, right? But it's really no different than the old Marxist collectivist movement, the Communist Party, before. Lenin-Stalinist rhetoric, but they want to adapt it to today. The third pillar of the Obama agenda is actually the most subtle and the most dangerous and diabolical. That's the liberal, the Gnostic, and the anti-Christian views. Nothing is being said. Nothing is being said about that. Why? Because it just seems so harsh. The reality that what we're talking about is deeply theological. It's not just political. It's not just anti-colonialism. It's not just socialistic. No, no. The so-called hope and change is, in fact, really in many ways a policy of deceive and downgrade. There is a concerted effort on the part of the present administration, the Democratic Party, to not only undermine and destroy American exceptionalism, but more importantly, to denigrate and dismantle the truth of God and all Christian values that our nation is founded upon. There's a direct attack being waged against everything Christian and everything American. Billions of dollars are being stolen from the largely conservative and Christian working middle class and being distributed to political, economic, and social institutions that are entirely liberal and progressive and who support a secular and atheistic worldview. What we're seeing here is not just a moderate swing from republicanism and free market capitalism to a more state-controlled economy under democratic policies. No. No, it's not just the redistribution of wealth. That's not the issue. If that was only the issue, that wouldn't be a big concern. This is a subtle but diabolical attempt at a cultural Marxist revolution that aims to bring all political, social, economic, and religious institutions under the power of a liberal and anti-Christian government that rejects God and His law and the true gospel of Christ. That's the danger. And we shouldn't be deceived, therefore, that even if Obama loses, the fight is not over. It is not over. It is just beginning. The liberal agenda is growing in America and has widespread support from the media, from Hollywood, from the unions, from public schools and universities. Widespread. Antichrist is at work. Right? I don't believe Obama is the Antichrist. Right? I don't even think he's going to win the election. But the issues are far more serious, really. It begins, though, with this election. Because we are at a crossroads in the history of the nation, it's vital that Christians understand where we are, historically, politically, theologically, that Christians, as well as freedom-loving and religious people, devote themselves to combating and overthrowing, by lawful means, this demonic agenda of the progressive movement and the Democratic Party. In order to do so, though, we need to clearly understand how evil it is, diabolical, and the influence it can bring. Now, most conservative and Christian people today know of the political scandals, the economic failures, the incompetence of the present administration, right? We know all the history. We can list all of them. The bailout and the stimulus plan that cost billions of dollars, the $6 trillion added to the debt, the vast transfer of wealth and unemployment, massive increase in government bureaucracy, regulations, taxes, fees, crony capitalism, the support of poorly managed industries, the GSA scandal, the Obama war on women and the promotion of homosexuality, the attack on the First Amendment, religious liberty, fast and furious scandal, the attempt to undermine the Second Amendment, the promotion of a leftist ideology and evolutionary paganism and educational policy. We know the policy initiatives and international treaties designed to empower the UN and to strip parents of their parental authority. Foreign policy that is anti-Israel and pro-Islamic, which has inflamed Islamic radicalism throughout the world, the massive increase in gas, the hostile attitude toward business and private initiatives, all of these seem to many in the political and the media world that this is just a denigration of American exceptionalism. No, this is attack on Christian values. American exceptionalism comes from the exceptional character, quality, and virtue in theology is from the gospel. This is founded our nation, the colonial Puritans. Right? It's not so much about the Libya cover-up and all of the things that are happening that are completely a sign of incompetence and denigration of America. This is the working of Antichrist. This is the work of the devil trying to destroy Christian America. Not just economic power, political power. No. All of these things are clear evidence that the present administration is designed to undermine the gospel, to thwart the work of Christ and the advance of His lordship, His kingdom. So in many ways, we are talking about the glory of Christ. Only the opposition to the glory of Christ. And what next week we'll talk about Christ's sovereign lordship. And that we're to submit to Him. See, this is the sure evidence of a growing anti-Christian policy in the American government, particularly the Democratic Party. Particularly. They are attempting to systematically dismantle and destroy Christian values, the institutions this nation was founded upon, as well as our personal, religious, political, and economic freedom. Right? So let's look then at how the law of God, right, exposes the evil, right, of the Obama agenda and the Democratic Party. Because certainly the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against them. And against all governments in the world that work to thwart the gospel. And why we should never vote for Obama. We should work to oppose, right? Peacefully, but firmly, courageously, because it is anti-Christian. Notice, first of all, the attack on the First Commandment. In the First Commandment, the Lord says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And the First Commandment, of course, is to protect God's truth and glory from false gods and false religion. Well, the present administration is at war with God. They're at war against Christ. They're godless and atheistic. America was founded by the Pilgrims and Puritans, established upon Christian principles. The history of the nation has been, therefore, a history of Christian works, Christian leadership, Christian missions, Christian values that is universally recognized, not only God, but the doctrine of the Trinity and Christ as the Lord and Savior of the world. With Obama, though, we have the first president administration that is openly hostile to Christian truth and Christian values. Notwithstanding that he says that he is a Christian. We're going to talk about that. Because this administration is at war against God. It's fighting against God, Christian truth, and virtue far more zealously than they are fighting any war against Islamic terror. You think about that. They are promoting a culture of godless, secular, and atheistic pagans under the guise of freedom and democracy. The greatest of evil in this administration is attack against God. It's not the economy. It's the attack against God. It's the attack against Christian values. Even the Democratic National Convention, God was booed. The platform has completely erased any recognition of God. Certainly any recognition of Christ's lordship, that's been years ago. The Democratic Party is largely made up of godless, secular, atheistic pagans in rebellion against God and Christian values. Now you ask, how is it then there are many in the Democratic Party, in the whole cabinet, like Obama and Biden and Hillary Clinton, how is it that they profess to be Christian? Why? Very subtle. They're deceitful liberal theology. They profess to know God, and by their works they deny Him. Let me explain, though, the background of their theology. In the mid-1960s, the radical counterculture on university campuses was echoed in theology by a number of liberal theologians who adopted Nietzsche's slogan, God is dead. That was their slogan. Now, this led to a movement known as the radical death of God theology. This radical death of God theology of the 60s, counterculture, is closely related to the Marxist and sexual revolution at the same time. It is atheistic. It is anti-Christian, even though it goes by the name of Christian. Very simply, they pervert the gospel of Christ by saying that Christianity is a revolt against God and His law. And therefore, they argue for secular, humanistic, and atheistic values under this idea of a New Age Gnostic theology that denies the rule and authority of God in creation, in the law, and in the gospel. For example, Thomas Althusser, for example, from Chicago, argued that God had become fully human in Christ so as to lose His divine attributes and therefore His divine existence. God, therefore, becomes man, and humanity is worshipped instead. This guy offered a radical theology of the death of God that drew upon William Blake, Hegelian thought, and Nietzschean ideas. He conceived of theology as a form of poetry in which the idea of God could be encountered by faith communities without even affirming belief in God. Just pretend, right? They said that God had incarnated in Christ and imparted His immanent spirit, which remained in the world, even though Jesus was dead and gone. So they can use Christian terminology, they can speak of God, they can speak of Jesus, when they really mean He's dead. William Hamilton also said that modern people were unable anymore to believe in God, and so he said, the church ought therefore to seek to do without Him as well, even though we use the same language. Paul Van Buren followed language philosophers in arguing the concept of God was cognitively meaningless, since God's existence and nature were not verifiable or falsifiable by the methods of science. They chose science. Look at the Democratic Party. Look at the Obama administration. They choose science as their God. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the gospel. In 1961, Gabriel Bohanian's book, The Death of God, was published, and he argued that modern secular culture had lost all sense of the sacred, lacking any sacramental meaning, no transcendent purpose or sense of providence. And so he concluded that for the modern mind, God is dead. And therefore, a transformed vision, a post-Christian and post-modern culture was needed to create the experience of deity. Where? In humanity. Or else, in the state. That is an extreme form of Marxist theology. That's where Obama gets his ideas. That's where all of Ayers and all of the liberals who he studied under, that's their view. They're either atheists or they believe in the radical death of God theology that rejects God and the Bible. They could use the same language, right? But they can profess to be Christian, just as the Bible says. They profess to know God, but they deny Him. And by their works show they are abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. They deny the true and living God. They pervert the gospel of Christ by saying that Christianity is a revolt against God and the law revealed in the Old Testament. This is why they talk about Jesus. Oh, He came to bring in this pluralistic society accepting of pagans. Where is that? That is a false Christ, a false gospel, right? That is why Obama is a Muslim sympathizer and why his policies promote the growth of Islam and downplay the evils of Islamic terrorism. Why the administration is trying to promote a global culture of interfaith paganism that downplays not only American exceptionalism, but distinctly Christian truth and values. He is in opposition to the lordship of Christ and the truth of the gospel under the guise of Christianity. You see, we have to understand where the thing comes. It's not just Marxism. Oh, it's more radical than that. Okay, but this is the theological basis of the anti-colonial, anti-American political agenda. It's not just liberation theology or socialism. It's radical death of God theology. Coupled with the designs of the interfaith movement that sees all religions as one and the same and therefore useful only to advance a radical and socialistic agenda. That's their theology. They don't believe in God. They believe in a false God, an idol of their own making. They're the worst form of heretics. They use and abuse the Bible. They don't believe Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of the world. They don't believe the gospel of salvation. They don't believe in Christian doctrine. They don't believe in the authority of God's law. They believe in the devil. Right? He said, you shall be as gods. They worship humanity. They worship the state. The basis of their Marxist political ideology is a completely anti-Christian philosophy. Tertullian dealt with that with the Gnostics in the early church in the 3rd century. He said, false gods and the evil work of idolatry and paganism is the curse of governments, the ruin of cultures, and the enslavement of peoples. That's Gnosticism. That's what we have to do today. The rise of New Age Gnosticism. Notice their attack on the Second Commandment. The Second Commandment, the Lord says, you shall not make for yourself any graven image. You shall not bow down to it nor worship it. For thy Lord your God, I'm a jealous God. The Second Commandment is to protect God's worship from being profaned by idolatry. Calvin said to trust in anything above God and His holy word is idolatry. Idolatry and false religion is, of course, growing widespread throughout the nation. Why? Not just because of the church, but because of the state. The anti-Christian state that is undermining the truth of the gospel and saying all religions are the same. This is diabolical. In Matthew 15, Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees for their idolatry, rituals and ceremonies, saying, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. This is what we have widespread throughout America, and most importantly, widespread throughout the liberal Democrats. A false religion that is made up of idolatry, human ceremonies, cleverly designed, right, substitutes for the glory, the honor of God, the preaching of the gospel, true worship, the singing of praise, public prayer, the reading and preaching of God's word. This present administration, all the liberals, have no regard whatsoever to God's worship. They don't, in fact, worship God at all. They worship man. They worship the state. These are the objects of their worship and devotion. You can see that by their lifestyle, how they talk, how they speak, right? Instead of worshiping God, first of all, they worship man in the terms of humanity. They are idolaters of the self. They promote self-esteem, selfish ambition, humanistic self-realization, all social and political ideologies that overthrow God and His authority. And all symbols, representations of His worship that are made to advance His glory. In the church, right? So they're fiercely devoted to what? Globalization, human rights, freedom of expression, pro-choice, feminism, free sex, homosexual agenda, and anything that is in defiance to God. These are symbols, right? The idolatry of personal autonomy pervades the Obama agenda and the Democratic Party. This is the same as New Age Gnostic views that equate God with humanity, their green policies, their views of global warming, their commitment to evolutionary paganism, their fierce hostility against biblical creation, right? Patriarchal government, keeping God in science, and look at the political ideology, right? You can see their breaking of the Second Commandment because they want to separate God from the state and politics. They pretend as though the First Amendment builds a wall of separation between God and the state. Not really, as it is in Scripture, is the church and the state. And God is the ruler of both. And Christ is the Lord of both. The Obama administration is truly a factory of political idolatry. Think of that, a factory of political idolatry. The idolization of the self is the most fundamental sin of man. And you can see it through the culture and the nation growing because of liberal administrations. Right? Especially now in Obama. Calvin said, self-love or the idolatry of the self is the false religion of every pagan unbeliever of whatever creed or race. You can see this in their views, right? Augustine writes in the book, The City of God, he says, there are two distinct commitments of the will or two loves, the love of God or the love of self. According, two cities have been formed by two loves, the earthly by the love of self, even to the contempt of God, the heavenly by the love of God, even to the contempt of self. The former glories in itself, the latter in the Lord. For the one seeks glory from men, But the greater glory of the other is God. The kingdom of Christ against the kingdom of the world, which is often manifested in the devil, Antichrist, the world. Look at the Obama administration. Look at the Liberal Democratic Party. They do not glorify God. What do? They seek glory of men. They worship humanity, and all of their policies are designed with that in mind. Instead of worshiping God, therefore, they worship the state. If they don't worship the self, they worship the state. Their state is secularist. They don't want anything to do that exalts the power and authority of the state. They want to destroy the authority of God in and over the lives of people. This is their agenda, right? They want to destroy the First Amendment and enforce an absolute obedience to the state under the guise of universal health care. They want to destroy the authority of Christ under the guise of democratic pluralism and free thinking. They don't think Jesus should be Lord. We will not have this man rule over us. That's their agenda. Herbert Schlossberg writes in his book, Idols for Destruction, "Modern ideologies since the Enlightenment tend toward the worship and deification of the state. Perhaps the most characteristic feature of modern society, one which impinges upon virtually every area of life, has been development of the nation-state and the subsequent idolatry associated with it." That's what we have. We could see it building in what? The French Revolution? Communist Russia? Right? Maoist China? And now, in the so-called liberal democracies in Europe and in the West, there is a tendency to this political idolatry. Men without the knowledge of God have a lust for power, a desire for tyranny, the corrupt civil governments and their constitutions, and instead of worshiping, serving God, they set up idols. Right? Thomas Chalmers says, "Statism and government tyranny is a manifestation of demonism, witchcraft, and the deceitful power of Antichrist." That's what we're up against. Right? Let me give you some quotes from these guys that basically form the background of their thought. The pagan German philosopher George Hegel wrote this: "The universal is to be found in the state. The state is the divine idea as it exists on earth. We must therefore worship the state as the manifestation of the divine on earth." It sounds like much of modern American democracy, right? Karl Mannheim said, "The only alternative to a planned central society is chaos. Obedience to the state and to the political powers can only save us." The messianic state. This is the Liberal Party agenda. This is abomination. The utopian Marxist Condi Pullen suggested that children learn an entirely new form of catechism devoted not to God but to the state. Instead of learning the attributes of God, the work of Christ, this is the catechism. "By whom you were begotten? By the sovereign state. Why were you begotten? That I might know, love, and serve the state. What is the sovereign state? The sovereign state is humanity in composite and perfect being. Why is the state supreme? The state is supreme because it is my creator and conserver, in which I am and move and have my being, and without which I am nothing." You think of that. This is exactly the philosophy of the Liberal Democrats and Obama. This is the kind of blatant idolatry and statism that is exactly the design of the president. They just don't want to admit it publicly because they'd all lose election. Right? They do not want to admit what they truly believe. They are idolaters and statists. They reject God. They reject his sovereign authority. They believe that their faith and allegiance should be to the state, the idol of the godless and secular humanistic agenda. Right? You could tell when he's off camera and off the mic, these things come out. Look, I studied political economics at Berkeley. I debated many of these guys. They are clever and deceitful. There is not only a jihad of deception among Muslims, there is a jihad of deception among liberals. We'll get to that when we talk about lying. They want to take over things. They want to assert a tyrannical power over life. Right? This is the design, the totalitarian state that defies God. They want to nationalize land, property, banks, businesses, and place them under the control of government. They want to steal businesses and from private citizens by means of excessive taxation, stringent regulations, customs, dues, and fees, eventually to bring everything under the power and allegiance of the state. This is the false worship of Moloch. Right? God is to be glorified in and over all things. Psalm 2 says that kings and magistrates, princes and judges are to submit to Christ and to glorify him, or they will be brought down to hell. Brought down to hell. That's the idolatry of the state. Look at the third commandment. This will be more brief. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Now, God commands the holy and reverent use of his name, his title, his attributes, his word, his ordinances. He express forbidly, right? He expressly forbids all blasphemy and the profaning of his name. In Leviticus 10, the Lord says, "I will be held in reverence before the people and before all of them. I will be glorified." God is to be glorified. His name is to be kept holy. Beloved, not difficult to see, God's holy name is often blasphemed by this present administration. In fact, many of Obama's cabinet members and in his administration are known to curse and blaspheme God openly, in the name of Christ, irreverently. I don't know how many times I've heard the administration promote wicked and ungodly policies with quotes from Scripture, which is the breaking of the third commandment. Right? They misrepresent God's word. They misapply his will and providences. They pervert it and maintain all sorts of false doctrines and sinful practices that dishonor God's name. In many ways, they scorn, revile, and oppose God's truth and use it for sinister ends. You know that, right? How many times did President Obama appeal to Scripture for civility when it has served his purpose, is only to curse and revile others at any opportunity, right? And to permit the same from Democrats. That is the blaspheming of God's name, right? There's always a double standard, high degree of hypocrisy with liberals. Now, the media, they just, what are you talking about? That's the breaking of the third commandment, right? They curse God and revile men, and then they expect others to praise them and commend them. In Psalm 50, verse 16, the Lord says to the wicked, what right do you have to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? They misrepresent the word of God. They use God's name in vain. It is a very wicked thing for magistrates to profane God's name by wicked designs. Calvin wrote this: to promote false doctrines or vile and wicked practices by the use of God's name or by misrepresenting Scripture is a great affront against the majesty of God and brings down his wrath and vengeance. Brings down God's wrath and vengeance. Now, we could go in a great deal of listing all the things, but the rest of the commandments will actually show how this is true, how God's name is profaned by their evil policies and false doctrines and sinister designs. Fourthly, their attack on the fourth commandment. Right, the fourth commandment, the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God commands us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep the Lord's day. We're to work 6 days, right, and then rest from our labors and worship the Lord on the Lord's day. Fourth commandment is to protect God's day from being profaned and his worship from being neglected. In Leviticus 19, verse 30, the Lord says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, for I am the Lord. Well, this president and his administration, in fact, by principle, by policy, practice, by force of political economics and bringing the economy to the brink of disaster, has produced a nation of Sabbath breakers. Never in the history of the nation has the Lord's day been so dishonored publicly, except under this administration. Right? The greater part of the nation has nothing to do with the public worship of God, but in fact profanes the Lord's day. In our nation today, while more than 70% profess to be Christian, less than 20% actually attend a church on the Lord's day. And fewer than 1% actually believe in keeping the Lord's day holy. Even believe that it's a commandment that we're to honor. Sadly, more people in our nation worship sports teams, entertainment, or idols, or even worse, the president. Who is the media darling on Sunday but the president, right? You know presidents before were at church. I tell you what, George Bush, he was at church. He didn't have any media celebrations and events. Absolutely not. He was worshiping God. What do we have today? We have a Sabbath breaker, idolater. Our current president, as well as his entire cabinet, attends personal press conferences, liberal assemblies, Hollywood talk shows, entertainment parties, homosexual rallies on Sundays instead of church services. We have sunk to a new low of depravity in our nation as it comes to keeping the Lord's day holy. Right? You could probably count on one hand how many times Obama himself went to church and honored the Lord's day in his entire 4 years in office. The worst record of any president, probably. Right? The cabinet, the agenda, the whole Democratic Party is designed, basically, in their principle and policy, basically, to profane the Lord's day. They're more likely to be found in Vegas partying with the Hollywood pagan celebrities than actually in church, as it has been by the past couple of weeks, right? It's not difficult to see the nature of this man's idolatry or the whole administration, right? Constantine, the first Christian emperor, on the other hand, said that keeping the Lord's day and hearing God's word from God's preachers was one of the most important duties of an emperor. That was Constantine. He even refused to be interrupted at church with court business and often to encourage Eusebius, the great historian and preacher, or of his other ministers, to preach longer so that he wouldn't have to go back to court business. Now that's we got a list of Theodosius and Cromwell. I mean, Cromwell himself was an elder. For Obama to go to church is nothing more than a photo op to appear to be religious and to seek to get the vote. Same with the Clintons. One of the greatest evils of the last 4 years is the great neglect and defilement of the Lord's Day in our national government. They have no respect. They have no reverence, right? They are downgrading and downplaying the distinct Christian values and principles of our nation. They're not Christian. John Cotton, the colonial Puritan, said, "For civil government to promote by policy or practice the willful profanation of the Lord's Day, and thereby the propagation of idolatry and rebellion against God, is a great evil and worthy of rebuke and condemnation." It's worthy of rebuke. For civil government to promote it is an anti-Christian policy. They're working to thwart the glory and the lordship of Christ. Beloved, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. He's exalted as Lord. And God the Father wants the nations to submit, to believe in the gospel, but to submit to his rule and lordship. And the Lord's Day shows our time, our values. Governments, therefore, that work in opposition, they're antichrist. Notice fifthly, their attack on the fifth commandment. In the fifth commandment, the Lord says, honor your father and your mother. So God requires us to honor our parents, father and mother, as well as those who are placed in lawful authority over us. We're to have a proper respect for our parents and for lawful authority. Okay? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Solomon says in Proverbs 30, there's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Generation, evil, not washed from its filthiness. This is that generation. Now, we probably can't imagine a more evil generation today when there's such a disregard for lawful authority, for parental authority. The family is almost completely undermined by the present administration, by its statism, secularism, right? The growing drug culture that is encouraged, the educational system that promotes rebellion to God, right? The international policies that are designed to destroy parental authority. This Obama administration has done a great deal to encourage rebellion against parents, right? To strip parents of their right to govern their own household and children. But this is consistent. Think about it. This is consistent with Obama's upbringing and his own parents' radicalism and communistic views. Because the fact of the matter is, his parents were miserable. They were miserable, radical, communist. They were terrible parents. They were, you know, he knows it. Miserable and rotten. Of course, the title of one of Obama's books is Dreams from My Father. I've read parts of it. It's really sad, pathetic. Gives you a real sense, though, of his hidden identity and his confused state of mind. He has no idea what it means to be a father or a parent. And so he elevates the power of the state and devalues the lawful rights and biblical authority of parents. The state takes the place, right? That was one of the dreams of his father, a communist state. Not just the redistribution of wealth, but the complete under. He didn't even stay with his wife. He wasn't even a father. He met him once. The dreams that he has of his father are delusions. Very sad. Very sad. Parental rights are therefore under his administration being continually stripped by the federal government and by their policies. By the intrusion of social welfare advocates, child protective services, international treaties, public school officials. This is all in keeping with their ideology, their rejection of the law of God. This is why the Obama administration is so closely tied to the teachers' unions and so fiercely devoted to the public school system and the subsidizing of the university system and college education with taxpayer money. Basically, they want to steal from the middle class and give it to what? The propagandists and the university students that are going to go what? Destroy the family. They want children and youth to be indoctrinated in their pagan worldview as soon as they can. They want to steal the minds of America's youth by destroying the bond and authority of parents. And to tell you the truth, in many ways, it's working. It pains me to see how many young men and women go off to college and fall into many hurtful sins because of the evil influence of the universities and their teachers, and some of which completely apostatize from the faith and become this Marxist, liberal. It happens. And it's tragic. Yeah, it reminds me of my days in Berkeley, right? Let me tell you a story. I love to preach and denounce this liberal idolatry. All the political professors that were of this mind, I was, of course, thrown out of many classes, persecuted, arrested by campus police numerous times for disturbing the peace. Disturbing the peace. And it was worth it. But you know what? I always felt that I was not only defending the truth of God, I was defending the honor of my parents. My mother, my Christian mother. I felt that they were undermining the family. They were destroying it. And I knew, I saw all kinds of youth there that they hated their parents. They hated them because of their authority. and their views of the generation of World War II, they love God. They didn't want that. They wanted a lifestyle of sexual morality, of abominable evil practice. They wanted a New Age agenda, liberal Democrats. You wonder how the liberal Democrats grow when they murder and kill. The abortion, right? They abort their children. Where do they get it from? The universities, right? They destroy the Fifth Commandment. And you know what? American universities and the public school system is an attack on families. It is a direct attack on families, American universities, the whole public school system. Notice their attack on the Sixth Commandment. In the Sixth Commandment, the Lord says, you shall not kill. You shall not kill. You shall not murder. Well, God not only forbids the unlawful taking of life, but of course also requires the lawful endeavors for the preservation of life and liberty. The law says you shall not kill. Proverbs 24:11 says, do not forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain. We know that in Proverbs 31, Solomon says that it is the duty of the magistrate to protect life, the life of those that are under his rule, right? Well, it's not difficult to see the Obama administration, liberal Democrats today in general, are guilty of the worst form of murder imaginable in the history of the world. The Holocaust of abortion, which is growing. Since abortion was legalized in 1972 by the passing of Roe v. Wade, there's been over 40 million abortions or murders committed by the American medical establishment alone, protected by the federal government. 40 million people. Beloved, Hitler killed 6 to 7 million Israelites, Jews. There are nearly 4,000 abortions that take place in America every single day. 4,000 a day under the cloak of political ideology and a woman's so-called right to reproductive freedom. Murder, right? The breaking of God's commandment. Obama, we know, is the most fierce promoter of abortion of any president ever. He and his administration promote abortion on demand as well as late-term abortions. This is the most cruel and barbaric practice of partial birth abortion. Partial birth abortion is protected and promoted by this administration. Is where the baby is delivered up to the neck and that has a pair of scissors jammed through the neck cavity so that the brains can be destroyed and sucked out with a tube. They promote that. They want that. Utterly barbaric and demonic. Is that not alone anti-Christian? He voted three times against the Born Alive Baby Protection Act, which would protect babies from being murdered in the case of botched abortions. Newborn babies that are just left to die without food and care. Parents didn't want it. That's protected because of liberal Democrats like him. He was, of course, part of ACORN, the same leftist political groups that see this as the centerpiece of their political policy. He's actually using this argument, as we see, as a reason for his election. How many advertisements do you see that focus on single women from universities and so forth, right, that are taken away from their families, they have no religious commitment, no devotion? This is the game, right? So he says he fights for women, their reproductive rights, so they can freely and willfully, along with the government protection and financial support, murder their children and continue a life of ease without the responsibilities of, what, marriage and family. It is absolutely a diabolical destruction of the family, and it's supported by the government. This is Antichrist, right? Now with Obamacare and the mandate, the administration is forcing private individuals and Christian institutions to subsidize this wicked policy, this abomination. In Acts 4, Peter says, we obey God, not man. It is striking how openly demonic and perverse the administration really is, and growingly the whole entire Democratic Party, right? Now, such a man who holds to such a view is not fit to govern, right? They're not fit to rule. What we're talking about here is a national genocide. But the media protects their darling. Theodosius, the Christian emperor, said, to expose a child to death by the elements or to slaughter the unborn by portions or sorceries is willful murder. And they are not fit to rule a people if they cannot defend and protect the least of their people. That's a Christian emperor, right? That's in total opposition. These men are not fit to rule. They are allowing, promoting a national holocaust as well as a demonic practice devalues human life and destroys the family and society. You remember what in Matthew 18, Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would better for him a millstone were hung around his neck and he would cast into the sea. A millstone if they made him to stumble. Beloved, we have here the murder of little ones. How many millstones do you think Jesus is going to hang around their necks? The depths of hell. Jesus will bring vengeance on those who hurt and kill and who promote the willful murder of children. Oh, but the administration, the Democratic Party, they're guilty of it. They're guilty of a wholesale genocide. This is the great American destruction and desolation. You know what? And it's not too far-fetched to see in the future that what we have now by policy, a voluntary act of murder, to become public policy enforced by the government like China's one-child policy. Because that is ultimately their design. Right? That is seriously possible in the future if nothing is done and the opposition is not clear. Right? I fear that we are too close. When we see right now the election so close, are you kidding me? What we have is the working of Antichrist and a whole body of people in our nation deceived. Just what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says. To believe a lie. Look at the seventh commandment. Their attack on the seventh commandment. You shall not commit adultery. The seventh commandment for the protection of marriage and chastity. God sanctions marriage between a man and a woman. He commands all to be chaste and holy. God commends adultery, sexual morality, homosexuality, all of the depraved acts contrary to his will. Jesus condemned his time as being an evil and adulterous generation. Well, this is certainly an evil and adulterous generation. And it's getting worse because of the Liberal Democrats in the administration. The Obama administration is the first that has openly supported the homosexual agenda, same-sex marriage, and has worked to crush, right, the marriage law to protect marriage. We have now a whole culture of morally depraved sodomites under the wings of this administration, protected, right? The promotion of the homosexual agenda, a society of sexually depraved people, pederasty, right? Pedophilia, the abominations that are associated with ancient paganism are growing. Right? There are men in his cabinet that are promoters of this in the educational policies of schools. What in the world would people go to a public school for? Right? Now, most people do not understand and do not know that Obama has himself a homosexual background. Documented. Documented by numerous testimonies from people who have known the Obamas for years, who know the church over there. There's been 4 or 5 testimonies even this last 2 weeks that have come out. Church secretaries, others, that say there's a homosexual community within these liberal groups and they get married for, you know, observational reasons. Right? That's exactly. Marriage of convenience. To look prim and proper before the American people. That's exactly what's happening. It's all over. Documentation, right? Larry Sinclair and others have written about it, right? This is why there is such a vehement attack against Christian marriage laws, the family, parental rights, right? A holy society. This is why, because what you have in the person and in the Liberal Party is this growing anti-Christian view about marriage, about sexual chastity. It's a homosexual culture. Man-boy league, the wicked depraved practices of gays and pedophiles growing, adultery, pornography, all different kinds of fornication, sexual morality becoming common, being promoted by this government. In Romans 3, Paul says that such a culture and society is given over to these forms of sexual morality, are given over to a depraved and reprobate mind. They're not only evil, they're wicked and depraved. Francis Schaeffer said, a society that reveals life, that destroys the sanctity of marriage and further promotes a culture of sexual morality and debauchery is one that is in rebellion against God and headed for judgment. Beloved, the seventh commandment is destroyed by the administration. Okay? When you protect feminists, right? Radical feminism, you destroy the family. They on their own. They don't need a husband to support and provide for them. They're out of the home. Right? When you provide for contraception and all the health care and all of the abortifacients, you destroy the family. You destroy children, obviously. You destroy the family. Right? You destroy the sanctity of marriage. Right? Marriage is undefiled and honorable before God, but they have defiled it, profaned it, destroyed it. How about the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment says, you shall not steal. The eighth commandment is to protect property. Stealing, we know, is a sin and a crime. God requires the lawful procurement of wealth and property, condemns all forms of stealing, all lawful means of gain, even if it is done under the cover of the state. Right? Zechariah 5:3 says, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the earth. Every thief and every perjurer shall be expelled." They'll be judged. That's why Augustine said, without justice, what is the state but a great band of thieves and robbers? Without justice, remember, what is the state but a great band of thieves and robbers? They do it because they have power and force. It's not difficult to see how the Obama administration is guilty of theft. Goes under the names of redistribution, tax policy, regulatory fees, inflation. There has never been a more artfully and deceitfully crafted heist in the history of the world than over the last 4 years by the federal government. Seriously. And coupled with the Federal Reserve, banks. Since Obama came to office, American household wealth, as we know, has dropped 40%. And we feel it. $6 trillion added to the national debt, with most of the money being doled out to liberal establishment companies and organizations that are not only in support of liberal democratic policies, but have a progressive and anti-Christian agenda. They've stolen our wealth, largely, willfully. Presently, 15% unemployment rate due to the economic policies, tax regulations on businesses, as well as EPA and OSHA regulatory policies. And this is all purposely designed to advance a socialistic agenda and strip the economic power of the American middle class, which is largely conservative and Christian. Right? And you know what's funny? They go around saying, oh, we're for the middle class. We're for the middle class. Look at the stats. Look at the facts. Are you kidding? People are absolutely stupid and deceived. This was no different than what Hitler did. To lie, to deceive, and get largely dopey people that had no sense of truth, okay, that maybe had a little bit of religious value, just a tiny bit, to go along with his, right, his democratic socialist plan, right? He's stealing. Now, the issue isn't the poor. Liberals know that Christians and conservatives give billions of dollars for charity. Do you know that? We ought to remember carefully. They want to control not only economy, they want to control our charity as well. You know what? It's time for basically another Boston Tea Party, because pretty soon, right, the church is going to be taxed. Under the liberal Democrats, you watch. Charity's going to be taken away. All kinds of, things are going to be come upon to what? Put pressure on the financial power of the church and Christian institutions. Because the federal government is stealing billions of dollars from its own people to finance their ungodly liberal projects. Well, we see the burden not only in the income taxes, but inflation. Gas prices, grocery prices, fees, taxes. Hundreds of companies like Surrender drained off billions of dollars of American taxpayer money. They're trying to use now the deceit of global warming to manipulate markets and steal resources away from the American economy to third world countries. In fact, the present administration has destroyed more wealth, stolen more resources, and deceived more people than ever in the history of the world. It's vast. It is vast. Now, beloved, we normally throw into prison those who steal by fraud or extort by threat of violence. Right? We normally do that. But remember what Augustine said. Without justice, what is the state but a great band of thieves and robbers? That is growing. Look at the attack on the Ninth Commandment. The Ninth Commandment says you shall not bear false witness. Right? To protect truth and honesty, God hates lying. He commands us to speak the truth and to be honest. We're to maintain and promote truth. God is truth, right? Jesus is the true and faithful witness. Proverbs 14:5 says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness utters deceit and falsehood. Now, this administration has been a factory house of lies, right? We know that from the beginning of the campaign. From when he was first promoted to be president, they've used lies, deceptions, and manipulations upon the nation. Right? Half-truths and distortions to promote their agenda and policy initiatives to deceive many. Healthcare bill, stimulus plan, foreign policy, tax and regulatory policy, global warming initiatives. Their entire policies are built on lies and fabrications. How many distortions, scandals, and cover-ups have we seen over the last 4 years? Let alone campaign promises broken, cylinder, cap and trade, fast and furious, Libya. The White House is a house as it is of deceit. Right? They pretend to be on the side of God and Christian values when, in fact, they are entirely atheistic and pagan. That's the biggest lie. They lie and deceive people by their political ideology that is diametrically opposed to the Bible and to America and our founding principles. And yet, they paint themselves as the true American patriots. They claim that they're protecting the interests of America and they're downgrading America throughout the world, politically, internationally, economically. They tell us Bin Laden is dead, Al-Qaeda is destroyed, and Islam is a peaceful religion. When in fact we know Islamic radicalism is growing in the Middle East is less than a decade away from a vast Islamic caliphate, a sort of United States of Islam, bent on world domination. That's like a decade away if nothing is done. They claim that the government is the only way to secure the peace and happiness and the welfare of the nation. So they promise all kinds of things to people to suck them in, to get their vote, to get them dependent. That's a form of lying and deception. They say that families and churches and private businesses are there to serve the state and civil government, which is a very terrible lie. They're all to serve God and His glory, the advance of Christ's kingdom. See, they don't want Christ's kingdom to advance. They want what? Obama kingdom. The liberal democratic kingdom to advance. And of course, they say the law of God is not the rule and standard of a nation, right? Marxist policies, social redistribution. They say that same-sex marriage and homosexuality, divorce and adultery are all part of a free society. They say it's good for a nation. It's a lie. It's a curse upon the nation. There are so many lies, lies upon lies, that we see. In Revelation 21, verse 8, the Bible says the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burns forever. Because that's where the Antichrist, the false prophet, are going. Notice, they're cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, and they are idolaters and liars. They deceive. The big deception. And then finally, notice their attack on the Tenth Commandment. The Tenth Commandment says, you shall not covet it. The Tenth Commandment is to protect our contentment and to keep us from covetousness, which is idolatry. The Obama administration, think about very carefully, is in many ways very greedy and covetous. They covet your vote. They don't want to lose power, so they will lie and deceive and do everything they can to win your vote and approval. They covet your wealth. They want to take what we earn and save and use for their own political and social purposes. Right? They want to take our private charity. They want government to control it. They want a state-controlled society where wealth is distributed equally and without any consideration of private property, personal value, talent, or industry. They covet your freedom. They don't want you to live free. They want you to bring into bondage to their political views, public policy, and their schemes. They have a design to bring everyone in bondage and enslaved to their view. They covet authority. They don't want Christ to rule and to have dominion. They don't want God to be exalted. They don't want churches or parents to have authority. They want to take away the authority of churches, of pastors and teachers, of parents, and they want to give it to the liberal establishment, to public schools, to social service directors, to health care, to be put into the hands of government bureaucrats to decide who lives and who dies, who gets this health care and who gets that. They're in rebellion against God's authority, and you better believe they covet power. They covet authority. They covet your business and industry. They hate the idea of personal success in business. You can see the way Obama derides entrepreneurs and successful businessmen. He hasn't had a truly productive job all of his life. He's been a slave of the state. So Obama says, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. Right? You can imagine, no, you didn't build that ark. Somebody else made that happen. Right? Solomon, you didn't build the temple. The Philistines helped you. You can imagine the delusion. Why? Because they covet the success of businesses, creativity, industry. They don't care about that. Right? Yes, they'll say a few platitudes and words. They don't want that. Absolutely not. They're in the business of coveting. They covet your life and service. They don't want you to give your life and service and devotion to Christ. They don't want you to serve and love God, to serve your church and family. They want it for themselves. They covet it. I think over the last 6 months, I've received probably over 1,000 pleas for help, money, support from the Obama campaign. Almost like missionary letters. Do you know what I mean by this? Like a missionary letter. They've been campaigning for 4 years. That's all they do. It's a propagandist machine driven by greed, covetousness, selfish ambition, and vainglory. Beloved, they want to put themselves in the place of God, in the place of Christ, in the place of the church, in the place of the family. The statist ideology, the very fabric of the Democratic Party in the Obama administration is greedy and covetous. They want to take not only your wealth and resources, they want to take your values. They want to take your service to God and to Christ and the church, and they want you to give it to the state. Right? This is no different from Hitler, Stalin, Mao's China. They want to bring everybody in bondage to their own ideology. And you know what? It is growing, and the only reason why they do not speak openly is because they know they would not win the election. That's the reason why. They covet your wealth, your freedom, your business, your industry, your authority, your family, your life, your service, your allegiance, your devotion, even your worship. And that is in direct opposition to the gospel. We're called to love and to serve God above all else. We're to devote our lives to Christ, not to any man or politician. Jesus said that we're to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but we're to render to God the things that are God's. The Lord says, you shall have no other gods before me. All right? The Lord is God. We're to worship and serve Him. Jesus Christ is Lord. We are to love Him above all else. And therefore, our allegiance to Christ does not allow us to give our vote or approval to this administration or any liberal Democrat that would otherwise work contrary to the gospel of Christ and the kingdom of God. We're certainly to obey lawful authority, but we're not to support or promote rebellion against God's law and authority. Henry Bullinger in the Reformation said this: we ought not at any time to defend any tyrannical power and say that it is of God. For tyranny is not divine, but is a devilish kind of government. And tyrants themselves are properly the servants of the devil and not of God. For this we may suffer, or when necessary, resist. Beloved, that is the foundation of the American Republic. That is the foundation of the American Revolution, right? Beloved, Obama's not the Antichrist, right? There are many characteristics, though, of the Antichrist that are given in Scripture, in which he and many other liberal Democrats resemble. It's clear. We can see this when we look at the law of God carefully and we expose the administration's values, belief systems, in opposition to Christ and to the law, and that is entirely anti-Christian in principles and their practice. They profess to know God, but by their works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And so we see there is a clear and present danger, not only to the American nation, our future, but to the church, to the advance of the gospel and the kingdom of Christ. By lies, deceptions, fabrications, they are promoting the downgrade, not only of America and our political and economic interests, but the destruction of Christian values in the nation. That's the most serious issue of today. That's the most serious, right? And so we're at a crossroads. Right? We desperately need a different president, a different administration, one that honors God, values life, liberty, and the family, one that will promote virtue and at the same time punish criminals and evildoers. Right? And so we should hope that Obama loses. But I'll tell you what, even if Romney wins, that's not the end of the fight and the struggle. Ultimately, the nation's only remedy is revival and reformation. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. Because the liberal agenda, the anti-Christian agenda, is growing. How do we see almost 50% of the people in support of this administration today? How? Because of a growing anti-Christian sentiment, a growing rebellion against God and rebellion against Christ. And therefore, that calls us to faith, sacrifice. Thomas Foxcroft in the American Revolution said, the cost of true liberty is great and will therefore require us great faith and sacrifice. We need to consecrate our lives and families to Christ. We need to walk in obedience to God's command and defend the gospel and the law. We need to honor God and His word above all political and earthly authorities. We need to defend the truth of God against the lies and the misrepresentations that are coming from the White House, from the Democratic Party, and from the media. And we need to devote ourselves to prayer, to worship, right? To love God and to know that we're at the fight. It's a battle, and it's going to cost us and our children over the next generation. But we need to know the truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for the wisdom of your word. We thank you that in Christ we have a most excellent Savior, our Lord, our King, whom we serve and love, and who is being opposed, derided, and denied by this present administration and by many in our government. Father, we pray that you would establish your work, the church, your kingdom, and that you would work favorably, even by your holy providence now, to suppress evil and wickedness in this administration, that a new birth of freedom, a revival and reformation in your church and people might come, that you would be glorified, that Christ's truth, that his glory would be established, not only in our lives and our families, but in this nation. the glory and praise of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.